A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome back to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Andy Goldstein, and a happy new year to you all. When do we stop saying that? I'm bored of it already. Oh, happy new year. It doesn't mean anything. Just get on with life. You're so miserable, Goldstein. No, I'm just bored of people saying happy new year. Anyway, happy new year to you. Get on with it. Okay. We've got a great podcast coming up, and it begins, of course, obviously, with the best show on TalkSport, Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Here are callers on the back of Liverpool's game against Sheffield United. And then, of course, we had callers looking back at Wayne Rooney's Derby debut. Not easy for me to say. Here, I'll prove it. Wayne Rooney's Derby debut. Oh, no. It was okay. That was live on TalkSport 2, don't you know? Who? Never heard. Yep, TalkSport 2. We are related to them in some way. Anyway, here are the calls from that said night of football.
Salah in the D, kills it with one touch. Mane is there, saved by Henderson, but Mane will tuck in the rebound. It's 2-0 Liverpool, and Sadio Mane and Salah are combining again.
Yeah, not too bad. I'm just driving home from the match there, just listening to what you were saying. Yeah, definitely, you know, if you're saying there, either go invincible or win the league and win the FA Cup, but not be invincible in the league. It's hard to do the double, wouldn't you, and win the FA Cup?
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you, Daniel, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Because obviously that's a trophy. Being invincible is just a bauble, isn't it? You know what I mean?
How dare you?
Invincible, but he drew 12 matches, didn't he?
How very dare you? Yeah. No other team in top flight history have done
it. Listen, Petty, it was an amazing achievement. But an actual trophy in the cabinet is better than...
Oh, we got a trophy for
you
that.
You know, just the title, isn't it?
We got a trophy for Invincibles.
Don't buy it, Daniel. I know you have. Wait, hold on. What do you mean you got a trophy for the Invincibles?
Gold-plated. Replica of the Premier League trophy, gold-plated. We got a trophy for Invincibles.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. It's only ever... Preston were the only other team did it in 1888, I think.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes, so it's a trophy.
Daniel, is the league over? Are you celebrating?
No, come on, Andy, be serious. I know what you are trying to do. You're trying to build us up to knock us down when we lose a few games and then say we blew it, we bottled it.
Daniel,
there's a long way to go.
No, there isn't. You're 13 points clear with one game in hand. It's over, Dan.
Second half of last season, Man City, they won 18 out of 19 games. The only team probably in the world who can put a run like that together.
Daniel,
there's a long, long way to go.
You're not losing four.
No, you're not.
You're not losing four.
You're not losing one.
And by the way, Man City, they ain't going to go unbeaten from now until the end of the season.
No.
Listen,
we all hoped that would be the case last season. We thought, oh, they won't win the last 14 games. And they did. We've had our hearts broke that many times. Believe me, not all Liverpool fans are thinking this is all over. We know we've got a big job on our hands.
So you don't think you've won it yet then?
No, of course we haven't won it. We've won it when it's mathematically impossible.
But all about Wayne Rooney on his Derby debut has got through 94 minutes and Derby County have edged this battle by 2-1.
Football is a great game, and when you're involved in goals, it's nice, and it's something we actually worked on, so when you work on something, it's nice when it pays off.
Take one more. I want to hear from Neil, Derby fan. He was at the game tonight. Wayne Rooney's debut for Derby. Hello, Neil.
How are we doing, gents? How are we doing?
Hello, Neil.
Good, Neil. How is Wayne Rooney doing? Tell me about the game. Tell me how he played.
Well, to be honest, mate, I think the game went, you know, cracking compared to what it was like the other night against Charlton. Mm. And having been Rooney in tonight in that midfield slot, fantastic. He put the ball about, mate, threaded it through to the centre forwards, mate. It was fantastic.
So he did play a little bit deeper because a lot of people were saying that they thought you might play in a 10 role. So
he played midfield.
Centre midfield of the four.
Yeah. And his distribution, mate, was fantastic, mate. He had plenty of time on the ball. Don't get me wrong, he played the full 90 minutes. But by God, mate, his experience brilliant, fantastic.
Who's Neil, whose place did he take then in the Derby lineup?
Well, I think he just replaced Balak from the other night because he got the straight red on Monday.
Yeah.
So he just replaced him. Basically, he kept the team the same, Koku, and just put Rooney in there, which it was a great balance in midfield.
And did all the other players raise their game because the fact Wayne Rooney's their teammate?
I think they did, to be honest, but the team effort the other night was 100% because we only had the 10 men. But tonight, the atmosphere in the stadium was electric. You know, he just brings, you know, experience. Everything he's done is just fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, he can still cut the mustard.
Over now to Alan Brazil's breakfast show, although there was no Big Al in the hot seat. It was Laura Woods and Ali McCoist, not on the same seat, that would be silly. They were talking to Lee Dixon, or Dicko, as some people refer to him as.
I don't want to go overboard about his progress with, you know, three games in, but there was definitely signs. And the Emirates has never been like that for...
It was incredible, wasn't it?
...many a year. I mean, you were there, you heard it all, and it almost sent, you know, goosebumps down my spine. I was doing the commentary and it had to be obviously impartial. But I did give a little fist pump underneath the table when the goal went in, the second goal, because they did deserve it, there's no doubt.
Can I just say, against
probably one of the worst United performances I've seen for a very long time. So let's not get carried away about who we were playing. They were terrible last night.
I'm glad that you brought the crowd up, because I think that you've got to give credit to the Arsenal fans. Whether or not you think that it's warranted, they've been through it really in recent years with Arsenal and their performances and the players on the pitch and all sorts that's been going on. They were just exceptional last night. It just felt like, Mikel Arteta said before the game, we have to make this place a place where people fear, where people don't want to come. And it was almost like they heard what he was saying, and it's a reflection, isn't it? The crowd reflect the players and the players reflect the crowd, and I just thought that they were so in sync last night. It was really lovely. It was lovely to be there and great to be a part of. So
it was. And the thing is that things like, Ali will tell you, the thing that game last night, that will carry you on probably halfway through your next game.
Yeah.
Your next home game, the crowd will give them the first half. If they don't play too well, they'll go, it's okay, because we know that they've got that performance in them. So they've seen something. So you almost, as a player, you buy some time just by putting in a performance like that. And then once you realise, you know, as a team, that happens on a weekly basis, you go, you're like, well, that's the norm now. And then the norm becomes, then all of a sudden you get two or three games grace from the crowd if you're not playing particularly well, and because they go, no, it's okay, because we know they're bought into the project. And that's the biggest thing as a player, going out on the pitch and being able to play without the pressure. I mean, Xhaka was last off the pitch last night.
Yeah.
You know, whether you think that's right or wrong or whatever, I've got my own comments on that. But he did, you know, it's not he didn't ask for the captaincy. It's not his fault that he is the player he is. You might say he's not good enough to be the Arsenal central holding midfield player. But last night, he played really well. He held his position and he quite rightly took the plaudits from the crowd. Yeah. And I'm sure his behaviour the last time when he came off and he was getting booed, he'll regret that. And now whether that was a wave because he's going to hurt her, I don't know. But the crowd stood up and applauded a performance that deserves some applause.
And from Dicko, we can go to Bent, Darren Bent, alongside that ginger fella with the loud shirts. Should be a dart player, shouldn't he? Well, maybe he shouldn't. Anyway, this is Durham, Bent on Drive.
It's worth a bit deeper analysis on Mesut Ozil. What I will say is this, right? I think he's played well for three games, Darren.
I agree.
But he hasn't been a regular in the team this season. I think he played about three games up until like the end of November or something ridiculous like that. So it is actually going to take time. It's like a new player coming into the team, effectively. It's going to take time for him to work out what's going on, who's to his right, who's to his left, who's in front of him. That telepathic understanding will come with time. And maybe by the end of this season, Arsenal might be thinking, right, OK, we've got that sorted. Let's get a couple more defenders. And the team is there to challenge next season. So I think to judge him harshly after three games, Mesut Ozil, that's not right.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I don't think it should be based on tackling either, because he's never been that. And throughout his whole career, he's never one who's going to do the dirty stuff, put the tackles in, put his head where it hurts. He's never been that type of player. What his quality is and his skill set is getting on the ball. And I think he has done enough in the three games to obviously been setting up chances for Lacazette and Aubameyang. I mean, I thought he was brilliant again yesterday against United, and I think he is that player. And yeah, you're talking about building a team around him, but obviously he's getting on in age as well, so eventually they're going to have to start looking a little bit younger. But for me, I think the signs have been good for him. It looks like he's getting back to his best. As I said, they found a system for him, because as we spoke about earlier, Mesut Ozil's quality are not tracking runners, putting tackles in. His ability is in the final third, picking the right pass at the right time. And as I said, if you ask Lacazette and Aubameyang, obviously me being a centre-forward before, I would love to play Mesut Ozil, because I know full well when the ball comes to me, it's coming in with the right quality, the right pace, and also as well, I know he's going to make the right decision at the right time. Whereas a lot of guys will get into the final third, they might shoot when they should cross it, or they'll overhit a pass. With Mesut Ozil, you never rarely see him overhit a pass or pick the wrong option. As I said, you can aim what you like at him about defensively, about his responsibilities, but going forward, there's not too much you can say that's wrong with his game.
He's been wandering, or it might look like he's wandering around, but what he's doing is wandering into positions between the lines,
exactly.
Almost permanently in there waiting for the ball on the half turn, and it's benefiting,
you know,
Arsenal.
Sometimes, right, as well, it's because when someone like Mesut Ozil is always thinking two passes ahead, so he, at times you've got to look at who's behind him, because if he's taking up these intelligent positions, as you just said there, in between the lines, between the defence and midfield, there's got to be players that can give him the ball in that area. There's no point him doing that. Like, for instance, I know you love Michael Carrick. He was one of the best at that, where he'd get the ball, Rooney would pull off into a little area, and bang, the pass would be there. And the quicker that comes in, the better it is for Mesut Ozil. He's been playing with players that are going sideways and backwards, so it looks like he's not doing anything.
Time now to check in for the first time in the new year with Jim White and Natalie Sawyer, who, I can tell you now, a little secret, are getting married. No, of course not. That's just me talking absolute gibberish. Anyway, this was Glenn Johnson on the show defending his criticism of Saido Berahino, a player, of course, whose first name you say as quickly as possible because no one really knows how to pronounce it. So have a listen. This is Glenn Johnson talking Saido Berahino.
What I said to him off mic as well, Glenn, was, let me tell you, Saido, Glenn had no thought of getting into the topic of conversation about you. It just happened, and you decided to speak your mind. And that is exactly what happened that day on Talk Sport.
Yeah, and to say that I was disrespectful, the way he was with his teammates was disrespectful, not what I did. I got asked a question, and I answered it honestly. He was disrespectful to the club, me, the team. So, and I weren't going after one person. I was going after the player that I was asked a question about, and obviously I delivered the answer. So it's not... There was other people that are bad as well, don't get me wrong, but he was the worst, which is why I said what I said.
Do you know what, Glenn? Out of that, Berahino now has got himself together, because this has had a positive effect on him, and he's now making the headlines in Belgium for all the right reasons. Mm. As I said, he scored from a very tight angle against Charleroi. They won 2-0. They're now in the semi-final of a two-legged semi-final in the Belgian Cup against Bruges, so it goes some to get past them. But he's now doing everything right. And my impression is, and the coach out there, Frankie Jury, said, it's given him the kick that he needed.
Well, great. Because like I say, I never meant it to disrupt his career or anything. If he could take something good out of it, then happy days. So, and the reason it was more frustrating as well, like I say, because you get some players that have got no ability and don't care. Whereas Berahino didn't care, but he had some ability. And the fact that he was just sort of wasting it was more frustrating. Mm. So the fact he's there scoring goals is obviously great for him. Good luck to him.
Time now for you football fans to fast forward the next 3 or 4 minutes as we talk cricket. Here's the England captain, Joe Root, with our very own Guy Swindles. I mean, we don't own him, although the amount we pay, we practically do. Anyway, they're looking ahead to the second test between England and the South Africans. And don't forget, the whole series, not some of it, the whole series, ball by ball by ball and bat by bat and field by field, is live and exclusive on Talk Sport 2, which is a bit like Talk Sport, but just with a 2 at the end of it. But other than that, they are identical in every way.
We've spoken about Jack Leach before. Perhaps just a word on Dom Bess. How has he shaped up since he arrived?
Yeah, Dom's obviously come off the back of a very promising trip to India. I think he worked really well with Ranganath Hadrath, and got some invaluable lessons from him. Gone away, worked very hard at certain things, and has come here and really impressed. And sometimes having a bit of time away, coming back into the environment, you can really see improvement, and you can see how much hunger and desire he's got to get better and improve. And how much he wants to play for England, which is a great sign. As a Park, he keeps working extremely hard at his game as well. And that's, you know, you can't ask for more than that attitude and that effort. So it's a nice place to be in many respects. It's very disappointing and very hard for Jack to take. You know, it's been a really rough month for him. And he's unfortunately not going to be available for this test match. But this is the hand we've been dealt, and we've got to deal with it best we can. And it's making sure that when we get our opportunity, all those guys, individuals, get their chances, they take them, and you know, we make sure we get 20 wickets.
It was interesting, just in the press conference, you were talking about the meeting you all had, the chat you all had afterwards.
I have a feeling that this is going to get blown massively out of proportion.
I don't think, no, really, it was just... What you said, that there wasn't shouting, there wasn't screaming, it was just very considered. What sort of things were discussed, and where do you go with that?
We just talk about the game, quite honestly, and you know, get people's opinions, views, how we can get better. You know, I think good, honest conversations are really a healthy thing in international sport. We've got some very experienced players, some very knowledgeable players as well, young players, and I think it's important to share that. And to have clarity as well about how we want to go about things, where we want to get things right next time round. And, you know, feel that we came away from that with all of that in check. So feel like we're a better side for it. And, you know, that's a really good place to be.
And after speaking to the media, there was news of an injury to Rory Burns, or Burnsy, as no one probably calls him. His guy Swindles, again, told you we paid him a lot, on the Sports Bar with me and Jerry Groves.
They managed to lose Rory Burns, who injures himself playing football and is now out of the rest of the series, let alone the match. And so England don't have an opener. And on top of that, Jofra Archer's elbow is a mess, and it looks as if he won't be able to play. So, yeah, things just lurch on this tour from worst to worse, really. There's no better bit, sadly.
Guy, what is the obsession with England cricketers warming up playing football? Because I've actually said they think they can play football and they can't. I've watched them warm up playing football. They have no coordination and they're not used to contact sport. I honestly don't get it. Why take that chance?
Well, it's the second England player to have been injured in a football warm-up. Johnny Bairstow did a couple of years ago. I'll just take slight exception to they can't play. I don't know if you saw, we tweeted it on the Talk Sport cricket site. There was a Joss Butler, a volley from about 20 yards screamed into the top corner that is right up there. But I do get your point. It's been used as a stretching warm-up exercise, and they do try and avoid all physical contact. And on this occasion, Burns had just scored. He did have Joe Root near him, but it was literally one of those crazy accidents where he just turned sharply, went over on his ankle. No one was near him particularly, and he's just done the ligaments. Yes, you can vaguely blame the football, but this was more sort of random. It could have kind of happened anywhere.
I'm Darren Goff, and this is TalkSport Daily.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Now, it was a strange old show on Hawksby and Jacobs today, because Paul Hawksby decided to bring in a competition winner in Andy Jacobs' place. Andy was, of course, off, and in his place was a chancer with very little hair that's going grey. Anyway, this is Paul Hawksby and Max Headroom or something on Hawksby and Jacobs. And a reminder, the show runs weekdays from 1 p.m, but hopefully with Paul and Andy, not the chancer.
Jimmy's been in touch today. I've been both a stretcher bearer and also a pool bearer. No training was given for either, and both were completely different. Speed was very much more important in one than the other.
Yeah.
And luckily, no one was dropped. Elvis in Walsall says in the 90s at Wolves.
I wonder where he'd gone.
There he's gone.
A place to settle, wasn't
yeah,
it?
He's just by the
well,
bus.
No one's going to be
just
looking.
Near the
no one's going to be looking for him there, are they?
He says in the 90s at Wolves, we had a stretcher man who looked like Freddie Boswell from Bread. I presume it's from Bread, right?
Yeah.
He would run onto the pitch to the chance of one Freddie Boswell. Eventually, he'd run on waving. And as months passed, as soon as there was a foul, he'd be up hoping the player was injured. Milking his part,
he loved
isn't
it, yeah. I think this is supposed to say my buddy Tovey, but it says my butty Tovey.
That's a Welsh, it's sort of Welsh.
Oh, is it?
Welsh
oh, I see. Buddy. Has he come from Wales? This? He hasn't put his name on it. Okay. Yeah. A big man, injured neck in local rugby match. Canvas stretcher too flimsy. Carried off on changing room door. I like the idea they maybe had to unscrew the changing room door.
Take the door off, lad.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much.
And
for
Mark
that.
In Bedwood says, I helped to stretch off a cricketer whose knee collapsed when he was playing a pool shot. As we carried him off, he asked whether he'd hit a four, but was told, no, mate, you fell on your stumps and you're out.
Oh, the indignity. Oh,
surely you'd notice. I mean, how injured do you do your knee if you don't notice falling on the stumps?
Yeah. There is a kind of a radio quiz show, isn't there, that we could maybe use? Stretcher bearer or pool bearer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Are they injured or are they dead? We give you names of footballers. Let's play stretcher bearer. Keith from Hull joins us. Keith, this is for the fridge freezer.
I'll save that for Sunday. Sounds good, that one.
Let's play stretcher bearer or is that too soon? Yeah, well, that sort of thing. It wouldn't be a good idea, would it, really? So keep them coming, your tales of...
Didn't think that would fly. It's gone really well.
Well, being born on a stretcher or not... He was born on a stretcher. Not that, you know what I mean. Have you been a stretcher bearer or have you been on the stretcher? I haven't been a uni student in Wickham 5 years ago, says James, and lived a few minutes' walk from there. I can vouch that the White Horse is quite the institution. Pound in the pot kind of place.
Right.
Not somewhere you ever want to be, let alone at lunchtime. Rumours... it sounds like a great music pub, though. Rumours early U2 played there.
Wow.
Too. So
it's quite the contrast. Isn't it
sounds. It? I mean, that sounds a tremendous venue. I mean, we'll have to speak as we find. Really, you know, we'll take.
So Alan
we'll
will do a live a week from there, won't
and
he?
Must do a show from there. Do you see they've sent some wine up into space to see what happens to red wine in the Mir space station or something?
I haven't seen.
Let's
that.
Let's see what it does to it. So Alan's going to be up there, going to be
live
chasing,
from space. I tell you what, if Alan is live from the Mir space station, he better turn up because it's hard for Laura or me to get there in 15 minutes.
Man, wouldn't get imagine
the call
that.
5:15.
Don't forget me. And Ali live from the International Space Station at 6, about 4:45.
I can't
Hello,
come
Max.
In.
My back, my throat. But it's the space station, Al. Get Max, get Laura. Imagine that. They can't, they won't make it.
I'll make it for the last 10 minutes.
Gonna happen.
We are in orbit.
Definitely gonna. I'm here, but I can't do the show. Somebody, you hear some bloke shouting, where's that red wine gone?
Can you get an ISDN for Ian Danta? Yeah. Can it reach space?
I know we promised you a show entirely from the International Space Station, but it's me, Ian Danta.
Live in my living room.
Live in my living room. Yeah, anyway, it's going to happen.
Back now to the Breakfast Show with Laura Woods and Ali McCoist talking to the new Grimsby Town manager, that still doesn't sound right, Ian Holloway.
You're back in football. The burning question of the morning is, did the interview really happen in a chippy in Grimsby?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it really 4 hours?
Yeah, well, no, we went somewhere else after that. Everything would have been cold by then, wouldn't it, Laura? Come on.
What did you order?
Oh, we had the full Monty with mushy peas.
Of course.
But Owen Holland, that's what I was going to say to you. I mean, it was a big decision for yourself, but clearly you'd have to get the backing of the family as well, mate.
Well, Mrs. H. Kim, she's just magnificent. You know, she got her metal detecting now, so that was part of the package. They said, is there anywhere she can go metal detecting? You think I'm joking? I'm not at all.
And finally, on the first TalkSport Daily podcast of the new year, we can head back to the best bits of the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. with me and Jerry Groves. Have a just sit back in your chair, maybe kick off those shoes, take your socks off, give your feet a little stretch like Bruce Willis did in Die Hard. You know, when he walks into the Nakatomi building and his wife goes, I better go out and speak to everyone. He's like, okay, you go out there. And that sounds like Schwarzenegger. And he's just there in his vest and he like looks down at his foot and he sort of makes balls with his feet and he goes, oh, mother. Anyway, a bit like that. And enjoy the best bits of the sports bar.
The way this team plays is incomparable to all the other teams in the 80s. If you put the stats together, they are as good as that team in the 80s, the 1986 team, when Aldridge played and everybody else. Obviously, they still have to win the Premier League. And the reason why Liverpool fans are nervous is because we have short memories and things can go wrong. We've got another injury again we've played tonight, unfortunately, which is a real blow. But if we continue to play, we're playing at the moment. We've got a tough lot of matches to come up. If we get past that, then we might start saying.
Klopp, I just want to point out that John Aldridge didn't play for Liverpool in 1986.
Well, apart from that...
You know, stick with your Man United, yeah?
He was about 88, 89, wasn't he?
87.
Was he, yeah?
I just thought, you know...
Doesn't make any difference. Okay. The fact of the matter is they had a great team in 86 with John Barnes and everybody else. So, but this team
sure?
is a comparable.
Do you want me to Google him?
I'm going to check that one. I know Dalglish was definitely playing.
Yeah,
Dalglish was playing as well.
So you've won the title then, Kloppy, yep?
No, I don't think... I think if we get through the next few matches against Tottenham, Man United, Wolves, I think we've got...
Hold on, sorry. John Barnes didn't join until 87 either, genuinely.
Tell you what, Klopp, no, you're all over
I
it.
I love you, Andy Goldstein.
I swear to you. 87, he joined from Watford.
He's all over it.
Thanks as always for listening to the show. Remember to click subscribe or press it. What's the old click? Does anyone click stuff? What's this fascination with clicking it? Just press subscribe on your screen. Don't click anything. You can subscribe via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And don't forget that this Saturday is FA Cup game day. It's a special here on TalkSport. Let me tell you what's coming up. Yeah, sit back again. But imagine you're in that Nakatomi building. Just early enough that Argyle's in the back of his limousine. He's got that teddy bear next to him and he's chilling out, talking to one of many women on the phone that they led you to believe he was in a relationship with. Didn't really understand that part of the film. Anyway, here we go. At 12:31. Oh, you've got that time wrong. No, I haven't. 12:31. Rochdale against Newcastle is live on TalkSport. Mark Saggers.
Who says I'm doing that?
I did, Saggers. You're doing that. Alongside Sam Matterface and Trevor Sinclair. Then, of course, it all continues at 3:01 with Game Day Live FA Cup Special. Adrian Durham presents from Vicarage Road. All the goals as they go in the FA Cup third round. Alvin Martin is at Fulham against Aston Villa. And Matt Holland is at Southampton against Huddersfield. And then the big one. Not if you're a Man United fan. This could be horrific. At 5:31, it's Manchester United at Molineux away to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Laura Woods. She's on everything nowadays. Yep, well, she's doing this as well. Anyway, thanks for listening. Lots of football coming up right here on the TalkSport Network, so stay with us. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.